So the seventh ikar, ani ma'amin be'emunah shleimah, shenavuos Moshe Rabbeinu olav ha'shalom ha'isa amitis. I believe that the prophecy of Moshe Rabbeinu was true. V'shuhu haya av l'naviim, he was the father of all prophets. L'kodmin l'fanav, both to those who preceded him, u'l'ba'im acharav, and to those who came after him. So this comes right after the ikar, which says, believe in prophecy. So, which is a subset of which? Right, so and now we have that the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu is true. So, I guess the first thing you have to understand, like, what if I believe that, you know, prophecy, there's such a thing as prophecy, and all the words of the prophets are true. So, is the prophecy of Moshe more true? Like, what? Right, it's all true. So we have to. Well, we'll discuss that. But and also, why is there a necessity of Moshe Rabbeinu being the Av for those who came before and after? That's like a... What does that mean? He's the Av l'Neviim. I mean, we'll see. That's not the Lashon of the Rambam, but nevertheless, the Rambam does imply that as well. Okay. Anyway, and of course, in Yigdal lo kam b'Yisrael k'moshe od navi umabit es t'munosoi, right, etc. Okay. And that's, of course, based on the Pasuk in Chumash, right? Okay. Yeah, exactly. Lo kam navi k'moshe. Okay. So, let's first of all look at the Rambam Pirush Mishnayos. And then we'll look at the other stuff. Nevuos Moshe ben Alva Shalom. V'hu shenamin, ki hu avihem, shol kol anavim. Asher hayim ulfono, v'asher kama ma'acharav, kulam, heim tachtav v'maila. He is the father of all prophets, both those that came before him and also those that came after him. And he is greater than all, they're all beneath him in their level of prophecy. Now, it appears to be important to understand that because I guess... And this is something which the Rambam mentions in Pirush Mishnayos in Chulin. Okay, that what we do, anything we do, is because it was commanded in the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu. So, for example, there the Pirush Mishnayos in Chulin, where Gemara talks about Gina Nasha, right? It's a Perek Gina Nasha. So there's a what about a Gina Nasha of a behemoth tmeya? So if you eat the sciatic nerve of a horse. Okay, so have you been over one or two averus? Is it Gidan Asher and the Isra of Behemoth Tmeya, or is it just Gidan Asher? Right. Or just Behemoth Tmeya? So there, the Tzmachloikas in the Mishnah, the Halacha Kechachomim, which is that you're only over on you're only over on Behemoth Tmeya, right? Why? In other words, at the time that so the first shita, I think it's Rabbi Huda, I forgot, remember correctly, right? The first shita is that it says Al Kain Lo Yochul Bnei Yisrael Es Gidan Asher. So therefore, the Jews from the time of Yaakov fighting with the angel, Al Kain Lo Yochul Bnei Yisrael Es Gidan Asher Ada Yom Hazeh. That's when the Isra started, right? Chachamim say no, right? B'Sinai Nitna, the Isra started at Sinai. It's just Nichtav Bim Koimoi, just the narrative puts it in the appropriate place chronologically, but the Isra actually started from Sinai. That means, if the Isra of Gidan Asher started with Yaakov, right, and his sons, children of Yaakov, so that means Gidan Asher preceded the Isra Behemoth Tmeya. So the Gidan Asher of the horse was already Tomei. Right, Torah comes along in Har Sinai, and now it's also, right, and now it's also Osir because of Behemoth Tmeya. This is two Isra. But if you say it's right, the Isra Gidan Asher only began at Har Sinai, they started simultaneously. So what that means is that Behemoth Tmeya is Osir. There's no reason that Gidan Asher should be Chal on that because it's already Osir anyway. So the Isra Gidan Asher is Chal on those behemoths. You're allowed to eat. This part of it you can't eat. Those behemoths are not allowed to eat, period. You don't need Gidan Asher. So therefore, you're only over on one. That's the Ad Kan, the Mishnah. So the Rambam says in Pirush Mishnayos, he says, I want to tell you a soid in Emuna. And the Rambam always likes to tell you a soid in Emuna. That's his joy, right? And he says, even if it deviates from the topic, I want to teach Emuna. That's mamash what I'm about. So he says, because what we do, we know nothing that we do. Bris Milah and Isra Gidan Asher. And so we don't do, Avram, Yitzhak, and Yaakov did that. We do it because HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded it in the Torah through Moshe Rabbeinu to do it in the same way that Avraham Avinu may have done it. But it's not, in other words, I'm not doing it because my ancestor did it. I'm doing it because Hashem commanded me at Har Sinai. In other words, my only access, and indeed, my only access to the fact that Avraham Avinu did Bris Milah is indeed through Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. So in that sense, he is indeed the Av, because I can't even... If let's say, archaeologically, we would find some find... that would indicate that the Avos did A, B, or C. No, we'd find that the Ovos played cricket. I'm sure they did, right? So we find they play cricket. So would that now obligate me to play cricket? Obviously, if you don't know what cricket is, I can't help you. I just can't. But that wouldn't obligate me to play cricket, right? That's it. There's no chiyuv. Right, the chiyuv is from the Torah. That's Moshe Rabbeinu, and the way we know about any of the Toldos Ha'olam and Ovas and so on and so forth is only from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's interesting. Just apropos, is it this week's parasha? Or last week's parasha? It says that Tvoach Tevach V'Hachein, right? That Yosef says to Tvoach Tevach Shecht V'Hachein and prepare food for the brothers, right? So the Gemara in Chulin says Tvoach Tevach is Pora lehem beis hashchita, right? V'hachein and tol gidanashe bifnehem. So the Gemara says, when Yosef tells Menashe and Ephraim, he says, prepare food for them, he says two things. Tvach tevach shechtet, right? And hachein, which is tol gidanashe bifnehem, take out the gidanashe in front of them. So the Gemara says, this must go according to the one who says, gidanashe ne'asar livna noach. Right, this must be because it must be according to the Manda Amar, because that's the Machloikas, is Gidanasha already Osir then or not? So if you say that it only became Osir later on, so why is he taking the Gidanasha? Must be because it goes like the Manda Amar, Gidanasha Nesar Livnei Noach, technically. Okay, so Toisvus asks an interesting question. Toisvus asks, what are you talking about? He says, no one holds that Shechita was Osir. They may have kept it voluntarily, right? Kim called Torakula, but no one holds. There's no shit to the shit. And so why don't you medayek? So how can you be medayek that it goes like the one to Amagida Nasher? Right? Haray, it also says Tvar Teba, Shechta. And no one holds that Shechita was a chiyuv at that time. You hear the cut? Brilliant kasha, right? I mean, not that, right? He's Toisus, right? So Toisus doesn't really answer. So I heard from Rav Moshe Shapiro answered with them. I don't know if you know the story. It's the story of the Noda Yehuda. The Noda Yehuda, of course, as you know, was a major misnaged, major opponent of the Hasidim, right? And he had a cousin, first cousin, who's a Rebbe, I believe, some close relatives of Rebbe. So the Rebbe's visiting the Noda Yehuda, and they're sitting there in his study, drinking tea with honey, no doubt, and a lady comes to the door of the study with a chicken, right? And she wants to know if it's kosher, right? So, you know, it didn't come shrink-wrapped, you know, with Empire and OU on it, right? It's a chicken, you know, it's like, ugh, right? So she says, is it kosher? So the Rebbe, sitting next to Noda Yehuda, about 10 feet away from the door, the Rebbe says, it's kosher. And Noda Yehuda says, bring it here, let me see. And the lady's like, and the Rebbe says, I'm telling you it's kosher. Right, and the Noda Yehuda says, "Bring it here." Right, so this poor lady, she's stuck between the Rebbe and the. So she brings it to the Noda Yehuda. He looks at the chicken. Intensely, looks at the anatomy of the chicken. Takes out a sefer, opens the sefer, puts it back, looks at the chicken again. He says, "It's kosher." So the Rebbe, right, the lady walks out. The Rebbe says, he doesn't. You're not supposed to say "I told you so," but he does. This is what you're allowed to do. Okay. So the Noda Yehuda says to his cousin, he says, "How'd you know?" So he said, "I saw a ruach tahara on the chicken. I saw a spirit of purity on the chicken. So I knew it was kosher as soon as she came in the door." So the Noda Yehuda said, "I have no doubt that you're able to see that." But he says, "That's not halacha." He can't paskin based on that, right? He says that's what the Gemara says. Asida Torah, the Gemara Shabbos, right? It's machlo. Asida Torah shetishtakach mi Yisrael, right? And the Gemara says chas v'sholom shetishtakach Torah Yisrael. The Torah will never be forgotten from the Jewish people. It says in the Torah lo tishakach mepizaro. Eila, what does it mean, right? It says they won't find halacha brua mishnah brua b'makom echad. And what's the case? It says a woman will take a kikashel truma, take it from base medrash to base medrash, and no one will be able to tell her the halacha of whether it's tamei or tohor. So Noda Yehuda said, I never understood that Gemara. It's kikar of truma, and we're trying to decide if it's tohor or tamei. Why is she bringing the loaf to the base medrash? Hilchus Tuma V'Tara is based on Chazaka and Sveikus, Bishus HaRab, Bishus HaYochid, right? You don't have to bring it to the base matter, you just have to tell the Maisa of what happened. Was there a Tinok right nearby, etc.? And then based on Halachas of Klalei, Safek, and Tuma, etc., they'll be able to paskin. Why is she bringing the Kikar? He says, no, he says, that's Gufa. Why is she bringing the Kikar? Because they couldn't tell her based on Dinei Chazaka and Safek. They could only look at the loaf and say, oh, it's got a Ruach Tahara. And what's that called? Shikchas HaTorah. That's the note of Yehuda's vort. On, he says, so therefore, yes. So, and it's actually an important principle al pi halacha. What's the principle? Is if I have access to the final understanding of what psak is, right? Not derech darkei haseichel and a halacha, etc. You know, I have my halachic Ouija board, right? So that is not halacha. You may be correct, right? Like the Rebbe was right. You may be right, but that's called shikchas HaTorah. If that's true. Rav Moshe Shapiro takes the story of the Noti Yehuda, and now it's come back to Yosef and his brothers, right? Because he says, no doubt, if the Rebbe had the ability to see the Ruach Tahara, Mistama the Shiftei Koh, with whom Hashem spoke, etc., had the same ability, right? But if you look carefully, the Gemara says Hachein means Tol Gidanashe Bifneihem. Regarding Shechita, which they were not mechuyev in, it was enough, he didn't have to do it in front of them. They could be soimech on seeing the Ruach Tahara and sensing that, yes, it's kosher. He says, but Gidanashe, it says Bifnehem. It says Bifnehem means they've got to see it. Why can't they be soimech on their Ruach HaKodesh? Just because it must go like the Mandama who says they were mechuyev in Gidanashe even before Matan Torah. That's how we understand that. In other words, and actually, it fits in beautifully with this whole idea that Moshe Rabbeinu is the Av L'Navim, right? Because in other words, Moshe Rabbeinu gave us right the criteria of how to determine a halacha, and part of that criteria is not anything of Ruach HaKodesh or anything else like that. It is basically has to be B'darka Seichel. Yes, it is true, and we saw the Ramban in Bava Basra, Chidushim in Bava Basra, who says. But that was only after they went to the greatest level with their own seichel and their own intellectual ability and so on and so forth, and only at that point, right, is so to speak, a kodesh baruch given siyata d'shmaya that there will be mechaven to the emes. But they say a svara, right? Like the Gemara says in Bava Basra, svara. They say a svara. It's not just like random, right? That so and so says this, so and so says that. And look at that. Must be ruach kodesh. No, they both said a svara. Right, so that's really that's I think at least part of what it means by Av L'Neviim Koyim L'Fonav by Macharav. Right, then he goes on to say, V'Ayah Nivchar Mikol Min HaAdam. He was the most chosen of all of the human species. Asher Hisig Mi Diosig Baruch Yosef Mikol Mashisig or Yasig Shum Adam Shenimtzo Shiimatze. Secondly, he also reached the highest level of perception of HaKadosh Baruch Hu that any human ever did reach and ever will reach. And of course, this is necessary because we're talking about authority, the authority of the Torah. And as we said in the previous klal, the only reason we accept a Navi, you know, even if he does wonders and miracles and predictions, etc., is only because it's a halacha, right? That the Torah says you have to accept a Navi if he does X, Y, and Z. The Torah that Moshe Rabbeinu gave us tells us I have to accept this Navi. And so consequently, part of this is that the nevuah of Moshe Rabbeinu was elevated beyond anyone else, and in both in terms of quality, and we'll see also in terms of the authority. V'chihu alav ha-shalom higir hisalusa min ha-anushas ad ha-maila ha-malachutit v'nichlal b'maila sa-malachim. He got to the level of an angel. This is interesting, the Meshech Chochmah. I think it's the first, I may have it here. Do I have it here? Oh, you do, yeah. It's a lengthy Meshech Chochmah. I'm not going to read it now. But you can see it's at the beginning of Shmois. He says, how can the Torah say, Gam b'cho yaminu lo'olam? Torah says regarding Moshe Rabbeinu, it says, Gam b'cho yaminu lo'olam. They'll hear me speaking to you. So there'll be eyewitness testimony that you are indeed a Navi. Gam b'cho yaminu, and they'll believe in you forever. How can you say about a human being that believe in you? Even if a person's a Navi, he still has free will. Person could do an Avera, there could be a Navi Sheker, etc. Why not? He says, answer is, the only answer that Meshech Chochmah says, must be that his free will is removed in this area. He got to a level where he literally went beyond human free will. I think there's a statement of Reb Nachman, who says that the reason we were given free will is to eliminate our free will. Right. To get to the level through our free will where we no longer even have free will. There's a classic Bretzlover statement. But I think that could be, I don't know if I'm allowed to use that in the Rambam, but I mean, I think that's, right, but that's what the Rambam is saying, so it's the Rambam mashup, right, so to speak. Okay, all right, have a great day.